testing still work?
Hello?
Hello? Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Un, deux, trois.
Qui count?
5, 6. 7, 8, 9.
And then?
10.
10.
This is how we roll. Let us go.
Are you ready to proceed?
You have a pepper in your nose,
Elena. We don't gotta talk about that on the show. We're recording.
Oh, are we?
We are.
Oh, then we're messing around.
No.
Oh.
I was just testing to see if I gotta dust the mothballs off of this thing. Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude deep in the jungles of Wakanda. I am your host, Eric Anthony. I just come up with freestyle. With me, of course, is the star of the Cave of Solitude, the Dore Milaje of my life. You know what that means?
Yeah.
I love it. What does it mean? We will talk about Dore Milaje.
Okay.
Stand and state your name.
Lazarus. Back from the dead.
It's been 2 months since me and Daph J have graced the podcast airwaves.
Because I had like the bird flu or something.
I don't know what you had.
That's ridiculous.
But the hiatus is over. We are back. Daff J, welcome back.
Thank you. Tell
the world how you are doing today.
I'm taking those garlic pills. They're making a difference. They're doing something.
Bodacious is in the room. It's on tap.
On tap.
We are ready to roll.
Yeah.
Get the show on the road. People have been asking for us. They're saying, do you guys like, is the show finished?
I still have a tickle in my throat, so forgive me when I do that thing.
You always do that. It's better than the ice cubes.
But this is due to the, influenza.
When did you get it? Starting January, right?
Oh, goodness. The new year started off with a bang.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
Took me out.
I had infections. You had infections.
We don't need to go there. Okay.
We are back in good health. The show is on.
Red wine. A little wine was good for the stomach. So said Timothy.
Let's get back on track.
No.
It's been a while. So we got to set.
He a physician?
No.
Paul. No. Paul was the physician.
Are we getting biblical here?
I'm just saying.
Luke was the physician.
Yeah, Dr. Luke. He knew what he was talking about.
Okay.
I'm just saying, we have medicine all around.
You're getting everything wrong. You're crossing all sorts of lines here. You're getting all wrong. Daph J, it's been a while since we've done this, so we've got to get our, what's the word?
A groove back? How Stella got her groove back?
Yeah, we got to get the wind underneath our wings again, if you will. This is a...
So I'm Stella.
I'm
and
groove.
You.
I'm getting your. I'm your groove.
And your bet.
This is a comic book and pop culture podcast. If you're still listening 4 minutes in, wondering what this is all about,
if you haven't given up on us yet,
we are here to review the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, The Black Panther, which has just recently released over the weekend of February 16th, Friday, that just passed. Power to the people. Daph has her power to the people fist up for Black Panther. If this is your first time listening, it's important to know that my co-host and lovely life partner and wife, Daph J, is a avid fan of civil rights history. And I think recently we were talking about, I don't remember what we were watching, but I had said to you, if you were living in that time, would you have been marching with Martin in Selma, joining the Nation of Islam with Malcolm, or decked out top to bottom in black leather with the Panthers? What was your response?
I would have wanted to be a Panther. 100, hands down, 100%.
Is it because of the dress code? Is it because you like how they dress? And that they just walked around with guns on
them?
Yo,
man, that revolution, that just, the Kangol hat, the leather jacket, the shades. I mean, that's what I do on a daily.
That's how you dress now.
But imagine, like, that was the image of power. You know what I mean? I respect it. I would have. Terrible time.
Yeah.
But to have been to witness that kind of how do I say that kind of fearlessness and sacrifice. That was a time to behold.
So you would have been, you would have liked to have been alive to witness that sort of, those events, those historic events.
Well, yeah, like it's a shame that it's still something that's happening today.
Yeah.
There's been some progress, but clearly it's not, there hasn't been a resolution. But what was done back then and the, yeah.
It's made history.
Of course.
And so, I mean, it's fitting that this movie is historical in for many reasons. It's timely. It's coming out during Black History Month. It's the first all, not all, but predominantly all African-American cast for, I would say, I don't know if this is factual, but the oldest African-American superhero from Marvel Comics. He predates Luke Cage, predates the Falcon, he predates Rhodey from Iron Man, predates Jon Stewart, Green Lantern. And when the Black Panther did come out or make his first appearance in the Fantastic Four, it was, I think, 1966, if I'm not mistaken. And they he actually made an appearance before the Black Panther Party came out, I think, a few months later.
Really?
Yeah. Stan Lee will say, tells a story that there was the party known as the Black Panthers, and he said, you know, they weren't a good group of people. They were scary and mean or whatever. It was, but they were standing up for something, so he wanted to make a character, and he named the character after them. But if you look at the history books, the Black Panther character actually hit the shelves before the political Black Panther group came out.
Movement.
Hmm. Made its appearance on the scene. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's a historic character. It was very, very forward thinking when Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created him at the time. And nowadays it's still, like you said, a timely topic. So this movie is getting a lot of people excited, and I think culturally it's very powerful, both from the comic book level culturally and also for people who are being represented for the first time in a certain type of light. So it's kind of exciting to see it be a part of the experience, and now to see the, I guess, the aftermath of the effect that the film is having on people.
Right.
So having said that, I know that you are a big fan, like we said, of Black history and civil rights. Mm-hmm. You read a lot of the books. You watch a lot of the movies.
Documentaries.
So to get this show on the road, we're going to do your top three, top five favorite films for Black History Month that you enjoy. Now, they don't have to be civil rights movement films directly, but things, I guess, related to the history of it all that you've enjoyed.
Mm.
Now, I think you've watched quite a bit of them, but I've never seen it. Have you ever watched Roots?
No, but I know my friends... my friend's Oma...
His German grandmother...
has a full VHS set of Roots. When I went to her house to use her pool.
Did you consider borrowing them?
I wanted to, but then I'm like, I don't have a VHS. I didn't know how to do that. But
what prevented you from watching it? Just access?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than any. And to be honest, if I'm going to speak from the heart here, I think that was one, if I've heard correctly, it was one of the first type of stuffs where they... documented or told the story of that time with full rawness,
mm-hmm.
where they don't hold back, mm-hmm. from the truth. And as much as I it's weird when people say, like, what is it about civil rights that you like? It's kind of like saying, like, why do you like in a World War II. Like, there's no reason to like something. I think I'm just interested or admire it. There's an admiration for the drive to make a difference or a part of history that we shouldn't forget. as much as I delve into this topic, whether it be through books or, you know, media or entertainment, whatnot, it is a hard thing to swallow. Like, I can't sometimes stomach certain stuff. I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, and I've actually been told that I can't watch it. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't watch it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but they're like, no, you will not do well with it, because there's certain things that I appreciate that Hollywood will bring to light and not hold back from truth, mm-hmm. but some things are just too hard to stomach.
Right.
And I think with Roots, I have that hesitation that there's going to be some things that I just will not be able to bear.
Right.
And to be honest, when I see certain films or documentaries, I walk out hating white people.
Which doesn't work out for me.
No, I end up taking it out on you for the next 48 hours, right? But it's a harsh reality that unfortunately is still a topic of discussion, because it's something that's still prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
And although it was something that took place a long time ago, it's not a distant matter.
No.
Which is very sad.
Yeah, it's true. Just want to make an editor's note as we proceed with this episode. Our four-legged friend and co-host of the show, Kobe, seems to be fighting a cold herself. Maybe you gave her the influenza because she's walking around sneezing all the time. So if you hear a very strange-sounding sneeze, it's Kobe. Yeah. Shall we proceed?
Let's proceed.
Okay, so do you got some movies lined up, picked?
You know what? I've seen a couple in my day.
In your day, okay.
And it was kind of difficult to...
How many did you list? Was it hard to come up with 5, 3? Like, what is it?
It was just hard to come up with any, because you kind of forget that. In some of them, you know what it is? I didn't necessarily watch certain films because it was like a civil rights thing. It was mostly because I really, really enjoy court movies.
Right.
Like things being taken care of in a court of law.
Yeah.
That's what I enjoy. But then when I rethink and revisit and kind of read up and on the synopsis, I'm like, oh, this is totally about that.
Mm-hmm. That era.
Yeah.
Yep.
So do I just name them off, or?
Well, you can name a couple of, like, I would say give the ones that you would recommend. Not, you don't got to list off like everything you've seen, but mm-hmm. what are the ones that for you are stand out to you?
I have not seen this recently. It's been a long time, actually. But I remember watching it as a. I think the last time I watched it was probably in my late teens. I haven't seen it in a very, very long time. Ghosts of Mississippi.
Okay, what was that about?
That was about the assassination of Medgar Evers. He got assassinated right on his driveway from it was what was his name again? Della Beckwith. He was murdered by him in 1963. He was a member of the White Citizens Council and also a part of the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
And he ended up murdering him. And Evers, he was a member, he was a civil rights activist. And he was the field secretary of the NAACP.
Okay.
And he was working to overturn segregation in the University of Mississippi and things like that. So he was one of those, I think Martin Luther King went to his funeral. Like, it was a big to do when that happened. His trial, his murder, the wife took this guy to trial 3 times, because the first 2 times, it was an all white jury, because back then, black people couldn't vote, black people couldn't be among the jury. So he basically got away with his murder and lived as a free man for I don't know how many years until they finally convicted him of his murder, I think in 91, I think. But what was sad about this too is that when he got gunned down in front of his house, they had called and he had collapsed and called and they were taking him to the hospital, but he was initially refused entry because of his race. So for 50, I think it was about for 15 minutes, almost an hour, where they were just letting him die because they wouldn't admit him because he was black until they finally explained who he was in the community. Then they allowed him to go in, but nonetheless, he lost his life. But he lost his life to the cause. And then after a while, a much while later, was this guy found guilty.
There was retribution.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen that one since you were a teenager.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. But based on a true story, and
it left an impact on you.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure, because you just saw how corrupt the justice system was and how racism played a huge role in that. But despite the fact that there's so many people, I mean, I think the popular people are MLK and mm-hmm. Malcolm X and, mm-hmm. you know, there's like Nelson Mandela. Like, there's all these popular people that have made some kind of impact, but there's so many, I don't know, I guess you would say foot soldiers. Like, yeah, they've given so much resources and ultimately their life to a cause to make a difference from way back then. Mm-hmm. And although, like I said, it's still a topic of discussion, there has been some progress, and it's kind of sad that they never got to experience that. To see that segregation, for the most part, has kind of...
It's no longer a law.
It's exactly. Yeah. There's been a black president. There's some kind of... there's way, way too much stuff that still needs to be addressed and whatnot. But it's just... Yeah.
Okay. Coastal Mississippi's number is the first one you list. What else you got?
Oh, Whoopi Goldberg was in it.
Okay.
And you know who else? He always scares me. He was the voice of Hades in the Hercules Disney movie.
James Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a scary voice.
He's very scary. He has a scary face.
Yeah.
He plays a good villain.
Mm-hmm. Selma.
Okay. Yeah, Selma was... That's a little recent. 2014. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was based on the march. At the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty impactful movie for me, because I knew about certain things Martin Luther King did, but when you kind of see it and you visualize it and you see the real footage of what happened, or even, I remember specifically from that movie, when, was it John Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, that's...
Yeah.
John Lewis was in that movie, and you could see a young, I could be mixing up my movies. I think I am. I'm thinking of The Butler during the Freedom Riders, mm-hmm. because the Freedom Riders were also featured in Selma.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the scenes of Freedom Riders when they were being trained to prepare for a possible riot that mm-hmm. they would cause by sitting in a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and while they're like in their underground in their basement training with the group, just how awful it was to see the things that they would eventually have to deal with. That was hard to watch. I think that's from Lee Daniels, The Butler.
The Butler had more to do with a little bit of like the Black Panther movement and his being in the White House. Selma was more about the march, and that I think that has more to do with a little bit of a young John Lewis.
And the reason I'm confusing it is because the one who played the son in Lee Daniels' The Butler played Martin Luther King in Selma.
Mm-hmm.
And it was I'm confusing the two scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the Lee Butler's movie, and you're talking about Selma, but he started off with Freedom Riders, mm-hmm. and then he became Black Panther.
Right.
But then in, I think there were certain scenes similar to that in Selma.
Yeah. A lot mistaken. Of this stuff yeah. was happening at the same time.
No, it was all the same time, yeah. So why is Selma, why does that make your list?
Again, it's just a respect for the movement and the sacrifice that people made, and no matter what, because they attempted to cross the bridge the first time, and it was a complete disaster. Like, the police just went all out. I think the army also came in. They just beat the crap out of people. Like life was nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that was the breaking point where some of America noticed that this is not okay.
Yeah.
And people of different backgrounds, different religion, different everything, they all came out to support the movement mm-hmm. and unified as a people
mm-hmm.
to make some kind of stance. So, but the build up too, and how things kind of transpired, or the fact that some people transitioned from a peaceful protest to then just being like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know?
Right.
Fannie Lou, forget her last name. I think she was the one that said it. And
is that Oprah's character?
I think it was. I don't
know. I'm
no, incorrect. It was someone else. But they beat the crap out of her too. And she actually made like the news coverage, and they interviewed her as such. She's like, no, nope, leave the bruises on. Leave, like, I'm not. I'm gonna tell them and show them exactly what they did to me. But yeah, just people realizing that. For something to happen, something has to happen. Yeah. So it was a very powerful, powerful film. And that made a huge difference in the voting stuffs.
Yes.
So that kind of got the ball rolling, at least.
It changed a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Changed a couple things.
Yeah.
Okay. How many more you got?
Have you ever heard of the movie The Long Walk Home?
No.
So that also stars Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
And it was, it was about basically the boycott of the bus, where people were refusing to take the bus because of the Rosa Parks incident had happened.
Okay.
So it was basically telling the story of a nanny / maid who was in support of the movement, but she would walk rather than, she couldn't carpool for some reason, because that's what some people would do. But there's only so much carpooling people can do, right? So she would actually walk to and from her, what would you say, her employer's home. And the wife, who obviously is this well-off white woman, noticed, like, she's like, okay, you didn't show up on time? Like, what's the problem here? And so had graciously said, I'll drive you at least twice a week. So that way you don't tire yourself out and you show up to work on time.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, by the end of the movie, she's basically, the white character becomes a part of this movement in support of the black community, with the white community being against her and her own husband being against her. He like knocks her out in front of everyone because he doesn't approve of her support of this, mm-hmm. but it basically shows the relationship between a black woman and a white woman and their relationship flourishing for a cause
mm-hmm.
and like humanity and respect and dignity. Right. So it's kind of nice to see, like a nice
story.
Yeah.
Like a Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything to round it off? Any honorable mentions?
You know what? There was a documentary on Netflix
mm-hmm.
that I really, really liked. It was about the Black Panther specifically.
Okay.
I would recommend that by far. Great, great, great documentary. Very good. I think it was called Revolutionary. Oh, what was it called? It was good, though.
Yeah, I think it was a PBS
special
documentary that was, yeah, and I think it's still on Netflix, actually.
Yeah. Vanguard of the Revolution.
That's what it was called?
That's what it was called.
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm a big fan of 42, the Jackie Robinson story.
Yeah.
There's a couple scenes in there that are very, very difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Just him being on in the batter's box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a true event where the coach or the manager of the Cleveland Indians was it the Cleveland Indians or Cincinnati?
Pirates.
I don't remember which team it was.
I think he was the Pirates.
But he just was taunting him his whole at-bat. And I remember watching it with you. We both were getting like...
I had tears in my eyes.
We were both welling up.
Out of frustration and anger. And yeah. I'm thinking like, I'm not even this person. Yeah. I had to endure it. Like, and look at what it's doing to me. I can't imagine.
Yeah. So it was really... you see these movies of what people had to endure back then to be treated less than human. It's really incredible to know that these things happened. And speaking of Jackie Robinson, 42, Chadwick Boseman, who is now he is what Christopher Reeve was to Superman, he is to the Black Panther. And we first got to see him in Civil War, the Captain America movie, which I thought was a great introduction to the character, to kind of include him in the universe, the cinematic universe, because he is an essential character in the Marvel comic book universe. So to see him portrayed the way he was, it whetted the appetite, I think, so much to be like, I need to see more of this guy because he's awesome.
Mm.
You ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's from the stuff that you mentioned just now, and this isn't the case for all movies, but when you think of movies that are really celebrated for whether with leading black actors, it's not always the case, but a lot of the times when they're celebrated performances, it always goes back to that era of them being portrayed as either slaves or during segregation time. You think of The Help, you think of Malcolm X, you think of Selma, you think of
A Time to Kill.
The Time to Kill. That's a Butler, 42, right? Most recently, Hidden Figures, right? It's always in that era of them having to prove that they're worth something.
Mm.
So to now have a film where it's not just a cast of African American or black actors and actresses and director and writers. It's the fact that they are taking this superhero or this comic book character who is a king, and not a king in a bygone era. King in the most modern, technological, advanced world, city. They are capable, smart, ahead of everybody.
So we're not talking about King Akeem?
Yeah.
From Coming to America?
But, I mean, that was a good example of breaking the tradition, right? But at the same time, that was all done comedically,
mm-hmm.
right? So now, and this is fiction. We're not going to pretend like this is a true story.
Which, by the way, I'm going to interject here and say that Coming to America, I think, is one of my top 5 romantic movies. Just to put it out there to the Fastball Special.
Shout out to Fastball Special. They did a recent romantic
movie. They did. And I think Coming to America should be up there.
The free, that's 20.
100%.
100%.
100%.
But Coming to America.
Yes.
Now, just a quick segue. This has nothing to do with the subject at hand, but I want to just... Let's do 30 seconds.
Mm.
Princess Bride. Yay or nay?
Hells to the nay.
You and Sue Sue is Martin Slam Duncan's wife. You and her are the two people who are in denial of this movie being great.
We're the only two that talk truth.
No.
Yes.
We're going to do a whole episode on Princess Bride, and you are at the end going to say to me, as you wish. Okay. Getting back to the Black Panther. So when you seen him for the first time in Civil War, what was your first impressions of the character?
Excellent. Perfect personification.
Perfect personification. Did you know, had you seen Black Panther in anything else before that?
Never.
Never. Okay. I think there was maybe one time it was a Marvel animation, the Avengers.
Good for you. No, I never saw it.
You never seen that one?
No.
They actually are in Wakanda. We should watch it. It's a good one. Anyways, so that was your first time with the character.
With Captain America, where the Avengers hauled ass and took over and did those little pew-pew versus each other.
Yes.
Yeah, that was wicked. And you know what I liked about it? It wasn't just a 5-minute sneak peek.
Mm-hmm.
He was an integral character to this movie.
Yeah.
And it kind of revolved around him and his mission and what he was trying to accomplish and the aid that he ended up acquiring throughout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it wasn't just a little Spider-Man intermission.
Right, right, right.
Which I, you know, that, and that's,
that was fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, let the men go to work. Let the men work and women. And the kid can just come in and add a little salt to the to the dish.
A little flavor.
And go home.
Right.
But I liked it. And I thought they did it in a... I thought it was done decently.
Did it whet your appetite enough to want to see a full movie about him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever read a comic about him? He's got pointy ears.
This is the thing. This is the thing. What I've seen, I'm sure things perhaps have... There's more things to date, but from what I've seen, because he is a character of way back when, most of his comics seem to be very wordy. Mm. And we all know how I feel about words. When there's too many,
but you will,
it's a little intimidating.
But you do all the things you do read, the biographies and life stories.
Yeah, but that's a passion of mine. It's not an escape. It's me trying to educate and inform myself and become aware of a subject matter as opposed to... And I'm not saying that comics is a Yahoo's type of, you know, exit strategy. I'm just saying...
I love that you say strategy.
I can't say it. That's why I thought I got it that time when you called me out. But based on what you've told me, you said that there was a racial commentary even back then, and that's why he was created and the type of portrayal he has in this universe. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I just it's just too much for me.
So if it's an old, so would you read the recent Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's writing the Black Panther?
Depends how many words are in there.
So you're all about pictures. I got it. I get you.
I don't know. I'm a visual learner.
So if the comic book has words, you're such a dork. Okay,
Do you know what I mean, though?
I do. So,
like, it is. It's a little wordy back then.
Yeah.
And I don't...
There's
can't.
More recent things, though. There are
and
more
And that's
recent
why
things.
I said back then, but that's the good stuff. Not to say that stuff now isn't good. I'm just saying that I've never really explored the character in that... via that avenue.
Right.
Because I was kind of like, oh, this is just going to take long.
Okay. It'll eat up a lot of your time.
Mm.
Got you. So... Having seen him in Civil War, the way he was portrayed, so, like, it was majestic, but still very
he was
low
so
key.
Cool.
Yeah, so cool.
So cool.
Gives Batman a run for his money.
Well, I won't go that far. I wouldn't let's not get excited.
His suit can take out Captain America's shield. Not that, you know what I mean?
Okay, like, but his suit is, like, majestic, magical, you know, this material outside of the universe. I mean, then you have Batman, who's just working with man-made stuff and is dedicated to a cause. It's apples and soup. Like, it's...
Apples and soup. It's
what's
not
the
even,
fruit? What is it?
Apples
and oranges. Yeah. It's a whole different... It's two different universes. He doesn't even need to come up.
Okay.
I'm just saying. That's not... It's not necessary.
So what was your expectations or hype going into this thing? What were you looking forward to seeing?
I don't think I really had any. Okay. And because I didn't know much of Black Panther, the trailer that I saw, I was like, why is everything so fancy? Aren't they supposed to be like in some majestic
jungle and safari. Like, I was looking forward to like natural beauty and this and that. In the trailer, there's things flying, there's things that are purple, there's things that are shiny, and like, and I'm like, what is this? I was unaware that Wakanda was an advanced technological
city.
Place.
Or yeah, country.
Yeah. So I was a little bit taken aback. I'm like, are they gearing so far away from the comics, or is that the comics? Yeah. And then you're like, no, that's actually quite accurate. And I'm like, really? So then that actually intrigued me as to like, what is this city that everyone is, that's so fancy? Mm-hmm. Why is it shiny and bright? Mm-hmm. You know? And that piqued my interest more than the character itself, actually, because I think I already had an idea. I'm like, okay, the character's cool, he has claws, he can move fast, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I want to know what's the history,
right?
That I was interested in, and how they were going to integrate the modern and advancement to the beauty and naturalness of the motherland. You know, right. What I mean, like, right. how does that come together?
Yeah.
How's that story going to be told?
Right. So the trailers didn't exist. The trailers kind of confused you a little bit. Not sure what to expect.
Right.
And then, of course, there's all the hype that's surrounding it because of the fact, for the obvious reasons. So you've got people going to the theater who don't even really care about comic books. They're just going for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And that's getting a lot of attention, and there's cosplay that people are going there dressed as Coming to America, like they're all into it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think some people are like, why can't they just go to a movie and just watch it? Some people have said that, right? What was your take from it, seeing pictures and on Instagram and Facebook, and even knowing some people who went to see this movie who don't care for superhero movies at all? What was that? Was that inspirational? Was that, you know, did it get you feel excited for the impact that this movie was having?
Oh, I can speak now?
Yeah.
I didn't know how many questions were coming. you know what? I thought it was great that people felt, there's nothing in there. I'm so sorry, I finished it. I thought it was great that people embraced it the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it spoke on, because if you think about it, how many movies really is there out there that represents Black people the way this one did? Most of the time, they'll go and see a superhero movie, a murder movie, an action movie, a thriller movie, a slasher movie. And there's not really much representation of Black people. It's always, the majority is always going to be just a white cast.
Well, they still make movies of Egypt with white cast, which doesn't make any sense.
Thank you for saying that. And so it was, I'm saying, you know what? Yeah, roll with it. Have fun with it. Yeah. Do what you got to do. Embrace it and let them know you're here,
right.
Kind of thing, you know? Right. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. It is nice.
Yeah.
And you know what? All things considered, this is the genre and medium where people line up outside dressed up for the character that they're going to go see.
So this is nothing new.
No.
Yeah, just take it in.
Yeah, take it
embrace
in.
Embrace it.
Do your thing. Yeah. And this specific, we haven't even talked about the movie yet, but this specifically, like I was saying to you before, it's culturally significant for both the comic book genre and for racial relations, because what makes me happy going into it, one, I grew up being a kid of the hip-hop generation. So all of my friends were Jamaican and from, you know, they were African-American or whatever the case may be, Black kids. So this movie, I'm excited for it on different levels, but even as a comic book fan, I'm just as invested in it.
Right.
But what it showed to me after I had left the theater was the impact that really comic book storytelling accomplishes. That And for me, unfortunately, a lot of people have not paid attention to what it accomplishes in the type of social commentary it has on many different subjects. But this character being 50 years old, and now people can go to a theater and see this character that has existed in the pages and panels of the comic book and see what these stories accomplish. Because what you saw on the screen isn't anything revolutionary and new as far as storytelling is concerned. This has been getting done for a long time. So I was very happy to see some of the stories I've recently read of Black Panther be interpreted and channeled onto the screen to get this sort of message across. Like, it was very satisfying. And the thing, too, that I didn't want to be swayed or influenced, because it's one of those things where if you say, I don't like this movie, people are going to assume it's for specific reasons of racial or hatred, right? Where I didn't want that to sway my opinion of it. You get what I'm saying? Where I feel like I have to say I like it. Or I have to view it from a certain perspective and you know, it be in agreement or be in disagreement like some people are. So I was excited for all of the energy that it was creating, positive energy that it was creating.
I just hope, though, however, that there is that acknowledgement that this character has been already introduced. Yeah. Like, this is not... I understand that this is the first time that it's, like, shall we say, an all-black cast. Mm-hmm. Even the soundtrack, as you brought to my attention, all black people.
Yeah.
Or predominantly.
Yeah, hip-hop artists, yeah.
Andrew. You said the director?
Yeah.
So
Ryan Coogler did Creed.
This is a huge step forward.
Yes.
However, like you said, this is a character that's been in the making for the past 50 years. This is nothing new. Maybe new to the public, but nothing necessarily new.
It's out there. Like, you can go and find this. It's been out there. Yeah, you can go and find this thing that has represented. And
I just think what's great is that it's being celebrated in this fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been there. It's open to anybody who's interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was fun that people were embracing it the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, right? Dressing up for superheroes isn't a new thing.
No.
This is what we've been doing.
Yeah, do it.
Not me. I mean, I have my Batman cape, but that's
that's neither here. That's for home.
Or an anniversary party. But I thought it was great that people were just loving it and the energy behind it.
Right.
And it gave the film its proper due.
Yes.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
What did you think of the cast of the movie?
I'm gonna save that a little bit.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna say something a little sacrilege, but overall, very nicely done.
Was there anybody you were surprised to see in the movie, or was there a point where you're like, oh my goodness, look at all of these stars together in this movie? Like, was there anybody you wished you would have seen? Let's put it that way. How about that?
I know who you wish you would have seen.
Yes.
I wouldn't have minded. The Idris Elba.
Idris Elba should be okay. He should be in everything. I love him. He could be in everything. I don't mind.
He's fantastic.
Okay, you're going to save the cast for later. We'll save it to the end, post-credits perhaps?
Sure.
Okay. How about the story or plot? Was it easy for you to get invested in what the story and plot was about?
Yeah, I found it easy to follow. Yeah, it was okay. Maybe because I already had some kind of idea, like I wasn't like, who's playing the Black Panther and who's gonna, because if you think about it, even his bodyguard was already introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Her name.
Shuri? Oh no, Okawe? Nakia? The bald one?
Yes.
Okawe.
Yeah. She was already in the other one, in the Captain America Avengers movie.
Those are the Dora Milaje.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Right. So even she was already introduced. There was a familiarity familiarity to some of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like, it wasn't necessarily an origin story. I don't think it was at all intended like that. It was kind of picking up where he left off.
Right.
from the other movie, but still giving us a history of who he is and where he came from and the tradition
of Wakanda.
Of Wakanda, and it was done beautifully.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I was stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
And I'm so glad they didn't go heavy on the tech. Although
they did.
No. But in regards to that wasn't the only thing they explored.
Okay. I get what you mean. There were still traditional African culture, like that embracing of the like when he was being crowned king.
Everything. Yeah. That it was done like in a freaking waterfall.
Yeah.
The
all from the comics, the
scenery,
by the way.
You showed me. But like how true they stuck to it, you know what I mean? Which I think too should give credit to the comic book writers because they made this happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they created this world.
Yeah, and it was done in such a remarkable way.
Yeah.
Being able to see a land the way that it is. And it was pretty breathtaking. And we saw it in 3D, which I'm not a fan of at all. Like, I walk out of that place spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I normally see everything in just regular
2D. High def.
Yeah, regular. It's over there. I'm over here. As long as no one's talking, I'm happy.
Right.
But this time it was very cool to watch it like that. It was an experience.
I got the chance to see it with Martin Slam Duncan on the Thursday.
Did you hear her sneeze?
I did. I wonder if it came through the mic. We saw it in the IMAX 3D and it was breathtaking. It was one of the best experiences of seeing a movie in that.
I told you
fashion.
To go to that.
You did. You were invited as well, but...
I wasn't going to make it in time.
You wouldn't have made it in time. And I'm happy that I got a chance to see it in that... I can't even think of the word. But in that type of screening of it was a real treat.
Was it full of people?
It was full of people, but not your seats are reserved, so you don't have to worry about trying to find a seat,
okay.
Which is good.
Where'd you sit?
Dead center. Perfect seat. It was just the best.
How was the audience?
Very good. They
well behaved, respectful.
Well behaved, but at the end of the movie, someone stood up and said, "Wakanda forever," and then the crowd cheered.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
were they black?
No, it was mixed. It wasn't.
No. The person that stood up.
I don't think so.
But the lights were still low.
Yeah, and I didn't turn around.
It was behind you.
Yeah, I wanted to see the post credits, so I'm like, dude, it's not done yet. You can't get too excited.
Did people clap at the end?
Yeah, people clapped.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was.
So this is your first like screening like this. Normally we go opening day.
Right.
But we go like 2:30, latest 3:30 in the afternoon. We try to beat the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time that you've seen it like this in a long time, no?
Long time, yeah.
So how was it?
It was one of the best movie going experiences I've had. In seeing a film with the visual effects and the setting and feeling immersed in the whole experience. It was real treat.
Mm-hmm.
I would highly recommend it to anybody.
What theater did you go to?
Went to Colossus or Vaughn. The Vaughn Theater. I don't think it's referred to as Colossus anymore. So just to paint the picture, we're going to spoil
this. Was it sold out? Was
yes.
it full?
Yes.
It was I want to know what happened. What was there?
It was full. Every seat was taken.
So what happens when you have reserved seating? You can go in just before the previews or what?
You can go in whenever you feel like.
Those is anyone ballsy enough to sit in somebody else's seat? And they're like, excuse me, I'm sitting here.
I don't think so.
No, people just go with some kind of knowledge, respect.
I think that night people go with respect. Because there are people who care to want to watch it in that way.
Mm.
So there's a, I think, a respect level.
Did they look like comic people?
Some. Yeah, some.
How would you describe that person?
I don't know. We're not talking.
Is it a variety of people? Is it a range?
It was a wide range of people. Ages, everything.
Cultures,
everything.
Backgrounds.
Everything.
Accents,
looks, clothing, sizes,
Did
height.
Everybody have food? Or was it that I had dinner already, I'm going to just watch the movie?
Some people had food, some people didn't. Me and Martin had both bags of popcorn.
Anybody go in between the movie for bathroom breaks?
Wasn't paying attention.
I'm just asking because that kind of stuff. I'm just saying because sometimes those stuff happen. And if you're talking that this was a respectable group, I want to know, did anyone like hold it? Or did they say, F it, I got
to
go?
I didn't see anybody go to the bathroom.
So it was
it was
a stand-up crowd.
It was a stand-up crowd. Yeah. And they laughed at the right times, and it was very immersive.
Okay. Because
when we saw it the next day, there were certain jokes that were used throughout the movie that people just didn't react. It was kind of like a dud of a crowd.
They didn't get it.
No. And it does affect. The crowd does affect your experience, I have to say.
Me and NC Blessed laughed, though.
Yes, you did.
We were the...
You were the only ones
I wouldn't say the normal. Loudest, but I guess because no one else was reacting, it was quite notable that we were...
I'm happy that you guys found the same things funny, because I was like, why is this crowd not...
Because reacting? As much as it had commentary on certain political, social things, there was a lot of lightheartedness to it.
Yes, there was.
And I think that needed to be acknowledged and celebrated.
Just the right... And it was all done in good taste at the right time from mm-hmm. the right characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, they established the world, I think, of Wakanda really, really well in showing you the different tribes that are there, showing you...
Now, these tribes,
mm-hmm.
you said they were tribes that were in the comics?
Yes.
Okay, so they're not, like, made up for the movie, or they're no. not real?
No.
They're also characters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so... when the movie picks up pretty much where Civil War leaves off after T'Challa's father is killed in the Civil War, and he has his little adventure, but now he's on his way back home and he's going to be coordinated as the king. And you meet his family, you meet his advisors, you meet his sister, you head over to the ceremony where you see Forrest Whitaker is his father's closest advisor, now his advisor, and Angela Bassett is his... in the comics, it's his stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, I think she just plays his mother. His sister Shuri is like a... It's like the Q to his James Bond, where she is the one that controls all of the tech and advancement technologically in Wakanda.
She was great.
She was very great. She played the part so well. You got Lupita Nyong'o, who is a spy for the country. She has her own little missions, but she's the love interest of T'Challa, playing Nakia. So they get all of these things right. They play perfect tribute to the scenery of the city, the right amount of showing the technology, but also... When they're on the mainland, you still see the little huts and markets of what Africa would be like, and then the safaris where his closest friend Wakabi is the leader of his tribe, who's played by I can't remember the guy's name, but he was the one from Get Out, right?
Oh, is that who that is?
I think yes, that's who that is.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah,
I hear it's scary.
It is scary, from what I heard.
What's it about?
Not sure. It's about a guy dating a white girl going into a town full of white people and it being...
Is it a psychological thriller?
It's a psychological thriller. Yeah.
Those stuff mess me up. I have to watch those either with the lights on if I'm watching it at night or with the blinds open when I'm watching it during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be next on our list.
That's
I'm waiting for that to be on the Netflix.
That's a tidbit.
That's a tangent. So... Going back to the setting of the movie and how they pay homage to the comic books, they did it so well that even when they adapted and changed certain things, like, for instance, the character of Killmonger, in the comic books, that is his main nemesis, along with Claw, yeah, villain. And he is such a formidable foe that he actually is the only person to defeat T'Challa, the Black Panther, in hand-to-hand combat. And in the comics, he is Wakandan. But he is taken as a slave to America after a battle between Ulysses Claw and T'Chaka. Because in the comics, Ulysses Claw is the one who kills T'Challa's father. But in this iteration of the story, they did something really interesting where T'Chaka's brother, who's played by Sterling K. Brown, is sent to America as an emissary or a spy to see what... I don't know if it's an ambassador, but they're called the War Dogs, which is also from the comics. So he's sent to America, and he's starting his own little revolution on his own, realizing that in the United States and other parts of the world...
It's a mess.
Yes. People who look like them
mm-hmm.
do not have any of the treatment that Wakandans get. Mm-hmm. So knowing that they have the means and the resources to make a change, he tries to start his own little revolution and is the reason why Ulysses Klaue...
He has good intentions.
Yes, very good intentions, but he's going about it in a very controversial radical. Way. Radical, exactly. Mm-hmm. Revolutionary, radical way. So the movie begins with that, with the Black Panther, the father, T'Chaka, in 1992 visiting Oakland to see what his brother is up to and confronting the rumors that he's actually turned traitor to steal vibranium technology for weapons that would start a revolution in the United States of America and around the world to fight for the rights of black people. And it's fitting that it takes place there because of everything that was happening in California
at that time.
During that time.
It actually said 91, right?
I think it was 91 or 92, right around that time, which is very poignant for the storytelling to say, let's go to this era. So to start it off from that point and to see that this is going to be a key plot point in the story, you realize that Eric Killmonger, who is the main villain, is actually the son.
Rodney King was beaten up in March 3rd, 91.
Yeah. So right around this era, there's a lot of unrest.
There's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this iteration of Black Panther, Killmonger is actually a relative and may even have certain rights to the mantle of Black Panther, but he's been left behind and ignored as though he's never existed. So his motives, you almost understand why he is the way he is, or he feels the way he feels.
Killmonger. See, I didn't know that. I thought he was just a dude from another tribe figuring out why is there snow in Africa. No, I was a little confused. A little taken back. I'm like, huh? But I didn't... Okay, you know stuffs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know stuffs.
No.
I thought he was just another rival tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Int? Is that a word? Tribe-int? Tribe member?
Okay.
Who just said, "Hey, man, I want a chance at the throne."
Right.
But I thought in the movie he was kind of portrayed like, well, he did what he had to do. Spoilers: he lost. But then he just bowed out gracefully, right? He's like, "All right, I lost it."
M'Baku, you mean from the
who are we talking about?
We're talking about Killmonger.
Who is that?
Michael B. Jordan, the main villain.
Oh no! I'm confusing him.
Right.
I'm confusing him.
You're confusing
him. Why don't you stop me? You're just nodding along as if I'm talking sense. When I'm not talking sense.
I thought I understood what you were
saying.
When
at what point was he ever referred to as Killmonger in this movie?
Which Michael B. Jordan?
Yes.
That was his moniker throughout the movie.
I missed that.
Okay.
I was a little distracted.
He was known as Eric Stevens in the movie, but his
I'm talking about the dude who lives in the snow.
The dude who lives in the snow is M'Baku.
Okay. Weren't you talking about him?
He's the man ape.
You did start speaking to him about him,
no,
right?
No.
I didn't
bring him up. No.
What was I thinking about?
I'm not sure.
The bodacious is hitting hard.
You're still thinking about your top five Black History movies. No, I'm speaking of Michael B. Jordan's character who was the son.
Can we start over? What did you say?
Oh boy.
What did you say?
When
did you start talking about him?
I was saying that in the comic books, Killmonger was taken from Wakanda from...
He's Rocky Balboa's dude. He's Creed.
Creed.
Can we just please... I can't follow.
Creed.
Yeah.
Creed. Mm-hmm. So Creed is the nephew of King T'Chaka, which would be the cousin of T'Challa.
Yeah, I know that.
That's different from the comic books.
Oh, they're not related?
In the comic books, they're not related.
Oh.
But that's a good example of changing things for the sake of adapting it to the movie as a narrative, to use it in the narrative.
So when you say that's a good example, does that mean you approved of this change?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Every change that they made in this movie that doesn't follow the comics exactly was done to better the narrative that they were trying to tell. It was all done very well. They included everybody who is like his best friend Wakabi is his best friend in the comics.
Okay.
The Dory Milaje is Okawe and Nakia.
Yes, I like this. Tell me what is. Okay. Yeah.
Shuri is his sister.
Uh-huh.
Ramonda is his mother.
Uh-huh.
Everett K. Ross, which was played by Martin Freeman.
Who's that?
He's the white guy.
Watson. Yes.
He is, in the comic books, a real character.
Okay.
Who...
And he is actually white.
He is actually white. Okay. Created by a black writer.
Ooh.
Right?
Interesting.
And one of the... And pretty much the most influential Black Panther comic book run was written by Christopher Priest. And he created the Dory Milaje, which was Okawe's...
You know Priest is a real minister? Like a real, like, pastor?
He is. I know that.
What? Who knew that?
I did.
And me.
Who told you?
You.
Okay. Why are you trying to school me?
Why are you trying to take away the schooling?
Because you said, did you know that? Yes, I did know that. So... There was all the... And
yeah, keep telling me what is okay. So that I know.
So the two main, most influential writers mm-hmm. of the Black Panther mythos was a guy named Don McGregor, aside from Stan Lee and Jack Kirby who created him, mm-hmm. a writer named Don McGregor who took the character in the 70s and pretty much created the whole world of Wakanda and explored a comic book strictly from the perspective of every character in it was African.
Mm.
From Wakanda, he created the city, he created the mythology behind the family, all of that. Later on, in the late 90s, early 2000s, Christopher Priest.
The pastor.
He restarted the Black Panther comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And he expanded everything that this guy sort of built. He expanded it and added so many spokes to the tire. And their two iterations of the character is pretty much everything from this movie. The scenes from the waterfalls, the Killmonger character, the Claw character, the Dory Milaje, all of those, the technology, the Everett K. Ross, all of those things come from them. Now, Everett K. Ross from the comic book was based off of Michael J. Fox, a bumbling sort of inept character who is there for comedic effect, who was way out of his element. He wasn't as
savvy
or capable as Martin Freeman is in this movie, which I think they did for the narrative purposes of the story. Whereas in the comic book, the entire series is being told from his point of view
mm-hmm.
because he's basically an attaché from the government for Black Panther when he comes to New York City.
What does that mean, attaché?
Somebody that they...
Like an ambassador?
Kind of like a person who takes them around the city. You know, where do you need
to... A chauffeur.
Kind of a chauffeur, but somebody who represents for them. My,
how the roles have turned.
Right.
Right?
So he's used in the comic book as a point of view to tell the story of what he sees happening and what he's learning about the King of Wakanda. And the interesting thing that I think this movie does well...
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, thank you. The interesting thing that I see that this movie did well is emphasize the fact that the Black Panther is not a superhero. It's not something that he takes on to go and fight crime, or it's not an alter ego. It is he's the leader of a tribe. He's a chief of a tribe.
He is the representation of his country.
He's the representation of his country and their religion. He's their spiritual leader as well. And the Black Panther suit represents that right. through the traditions. And it's only his bloodline, this is something in the comic books, it's only his bloodline that can eat the heart-shaped herb.
So not just anyone can have that.
Not anybody can have that.
Ah, only he can have it. So that's why Michael B. Jordan...
Was able to... That's why it was
fitting. That's why they made it happen. Yes. Okay.
So there's little things that help. It helps to know. So the changes they
made... So really then, it will always be royal blood... But it won't always be like the son or the son, like it won't just be an heir. It would be someone within the family. Right. So it can even be a woman.
It could be a woman, which in the comic books, his sister has taken over the mantle of Black Panther, Shuri. I don't know if they'll do that in the movies, but she was Black Panther. Now, the one thing that could happen is somebody could challenge him in combat, the way you saw in the waterfall scene, to be the leader of the Panther tribe. If they beat him in hand-to-hand combat. And that's why he takes that potion to remove the power of the panther. Right. When he fights somebody who wants to challenge him.
Correct.
So they did a really good job to kind of show that he's not just the guy putting on a suit to fight crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, he's not Batman, he's not Captain America, he's not Iron Man. This is who he is.
Yeah.
This is part of his heritage, his culture.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was very interesting is that the main villain, Killmonger, his cousin, his purpose is, like you said, in some ways noble, right? He's saying, you know what? You guys killed my dad and didn't even bury him in his home country. You left me there to rot. And there's 2 billion people around the world who look just like us, who have been mistreated, who were brought from our land into bondage, and are still being repressed. And you have the means.
Repressed or oppressed?
Oppressed. Oppressed. Yeah. Oppressed is better. Oppressed. Wakanda has the means to change all of that. But on the flip side, Wakanda says, that's not our job. I am not the king of black people. I'm the king of my country.
Mm.
Which is very interesting commentary. It's not an in-your-face. It's not your typical... you don't go into this watching it and saying, black power. It's taken from a perspective of, what is your right to do as a sovereign of a country? What do you, if you have the means to do something, America, do you have to necessarily do it just because you think you have the power?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the people that were, some of the Wakandans I thought was interesting, such as Wakabi, his stance was, don't let people into our country. If you let people into our country, it ruins our country. It'll weaken everything we stand for. But if you're ready for us to go out there and set matters straight and show them or take over their country.
And teach them how it's done.
Show them our superiority, then let's do it. And T'Challa does not want to do that either. He says, that's not what we stand for. We can't do that. Some of his other close associates, such as Nakia, who is his love interest in this movie. In the comics, she becomes someone very different. But in this story, she's... The change that they've given her is good, I think. Where she's saying, we don't got to go there and take over their country, but how can we ignore? How can we continually ignore and just live in secret for our own benefit? That's counterproductive too. That needs to change. So he's on the fence now as king. His whole thing is, how can I be as good a king as my father? And as he takes the throne, he starts to learn certain things about T'Chaka that are disturbing him, certain truths that were hidden, which now make him reflect on his role and how he's going to go about bringing justice to the history of his country, whether it's bringing Ulysses Klaue back to pay for the crimes he committed against Wakanda and for the deaths that he had happen, or in the sense of Killmonger and his uncle wanting to have caused a change for, I guess, a revolution, a real Black Panther revolution in other parts of the world. Should he now come down hard on his cousin for his, I guess, terroristic attack?
Approach.
Or should he show mercy to him as his family? Very interesting. So it's a commentary I found on modern day issues within any country you're living in. And then it's also a commentary on the African-American culture within themselves and how they interact with one another, and then also how the outside world interacts with them. So it takes this comic book character and really takes it from a perspective and shows it from every single angle and makes you reflect on yourself. So what I appreciated about it was that it's not just for a certain representation or culture. I think if you go into this is a movie that is supposed to make everybody reflect.
Yeah, it's an awareness.
Exactly.
100%.
So I've gone off for a while. Were there any questions you had about certain characters and the roles that they played, or things that you would enjoy about it?
I think you hit a lot of things on the mark. How do I say it without sounding redundant? There was a lot of stuff in this movie that I thought gave acknowledgement and respect to not just Black people, mm-hmm. but also women in general. Yes, good and point. I think the good last point. Time, I don't know, you would say that there was like full woman power was the Wonder Woman movie. Mm-hmm. But this was done again in a way to the Dora... Laje? The Dora, yeah. They were represented as... like, the women were the army. They yeah. were, like...
There is first line of defense.
Hardcore. No hesitation to do their civil duty. And not so much out of obligation, but because that's what they truly believed in. That passion and that... So, yeah, I just thought it was a great representation of women. Mm-hmm. I think it, like you said, it had a lot of commentary on the social issues that are happening today. But what I liked about it, that it wasn't so in your face. It wasn't necessarily to make a certain group feel bad or a certain group to feel overly elevated. It was just trying to educate and bring awareness to people.
Yes.
And to start a conversation.
Yeah,
that was its whole purpose, and sometimes yeah. that's all that needs to happen. Just let's talk. Let's meet in the middle somewhere and have a conversation. And I think that's what this movie was able to accomplish.
Yeah, I really like the fact that it was a lesson, I think, in belief systems that I think today people are it's causing a lot of friction because T'Challa wanted to be just like his dad. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to continue.
But who wouldn't want to be that kind of figure when everything you've ever witnessed or seen has always been, dare I say, perfect or infallible?
Right.
Did I say that correctly?
Infallible. I like how you say it.
Infallible. So of course that is your peak. That's your goal. That's right. Your, you know, only like you said, after a while. With time and experience, do you realize that not everything was perfect?
Exactly.
And then, so what do you do with that? Do you let that break you? Do you let your faith in humanity or a person dictate who you're going to be? Or are you going to learn from those experiences and let it empower you and make you learn from that to be better, not just for yourself, but for others?
And that's what I was getting at, was that you have this thing in your mind of upholding a certain person's, his father's rhetoric, not realizing, like, what do I really feel? What do I really want to do? Mm-hmm. And we don't do that sometimes in our own lives. It just becomes what's passed down to you. And his battle was, I can't just do what's been passed down to me in order for me to be good at my role. I've got to challenge my own thoughts, my own interpretations of who my father was or things that he did. Mm-hmm. Like you said, learn from that experience. And if he did something that wasn't right, just because it was from him and for the sake of his country, it doesn't mean that that's what I'm going to have to. Because even some of the other characters, which what I really liked was that each character, even in supporting roles, all had belief systems for their own country that they wanted to stick to.
Yeah, as united as they were, his girlfriend, Wakabi, or ex-girlfriend,
oh yes, Nakia,
had her reasons yep. why she was doing what she was doing.
Right.
His best friend, mm-hmm. Okabu?
Wakabi,
sorry. He had his feelings mm-hmm. and reservations mm-hmm. And had a political stance himself. Although they were a country and it seemed as they were united, they still had their own opinions.
Right.
It's just, what do you do when there is some kind of, I wouldn't say division, but when there isn't...
There's challenges to your ideology of what it is right. and what your purpose is.
How do you handle that?
And the only way that they were able to move forward was to, in some capacity, compromise...
Or even with Watson. Mm-hmm. What's his name now?
Nah, she's referring to him as well. Everett K. Ross.
So even hit the audacity of being like, well, I'm the US
CIA,
CIA. I have, precedence and authority here. I'm gonna decide what we do with this dude when I say we do with him. And believe me, I know better. I'm doing you a solid. Like that American thinking of we, don't worry, we'll take care of it. And only when we give the green light will you be able to do A, B, and C. That kind of that portrayal, that kind of abuse of power was kind of, and then even he, I guess, had a learning experience for himself, right? To know like, no, that's not what we do. And withholding information or taking advantage of power isn't necessarily the answer to finding to having a resolution, right? It's the lack of conversation and the withholding of stuff is what actually fuels fire and division.
It
I
was
just thought it was it took a lot of brought a lot of stuff to light. And
Very.
not bigging up one person and putting
No.
down another. It
No.
was all kind of equalizing
Yes.
the playing field a little bit and saying everybody needs something to do so that we can all move forward.
Right. It brings the question of loyalty to a person, loyalty to a nation, loyalty to a belief system. Like, what? How do you balance all of that? Because everybody justified their decisions by what their belief system was. Okawi was serve her country. Nakia was save her country. Killmonger was save all the people, save the black people
And himself, there
and
was a little
himself, right?
self-interest in
Of
there.
course, of course, of course there was, but everybody has their justification for the stance that they're gonna take
And
for
you know
better or for
what? And
worse.
every single one of them had reason. It
Right.
was valid. It
Exactly.
was validated.
That's
As
exactly
twisted and
it.
as you can say that Killmonger was a bit of an extremist and he was a
Totally.
terrorist and he went things violently or whatever, at some point, anyone who's put in a corner like that, whose humanity is stripped away from them, what do you expect them to do?
Exactly.
By any means necessary.
That's exactly it, right?
You
The
know what
Black
I mean?
Panther.
And he was doing it as like, and it wasn't, and it as much as you could say, oh, he was selfish, he wanted the throne, even when he gained that power, he's like, okay, we need to take what we have, stop hogging it, and let's do something.
We're gonna rule the world
We're
for
gonna we're
once.
actually gonna make a change here. As opposed to there was the other flip side, it was like, whoa, 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 if this type of power gets in the wrong hands, we're talking like the end of humanity. Like things are gonna get out of control. So we're gonna do. So it was, yeah, like everybody had validation. And it was almost, at some points, I felt kind of sad watching the movie because it seemed like everybody has true motive. It's just having to.
And that's the beauty of that of the storytelling. It was very nuanced. It wasn't forcing you to think or feel one perspective. It wasn't catering to just one social group, one political party, one people of religious perspectives, because every form of thinking is represented in the story, which I think is what ultimately makes it what it is. On top of the amazing action sequences and special effects, I mean, the third act of the movie is pretty much a third act of any superhero movie. Big battle. Everybody fights.
Now that you said that, am I cutting you off?
No.
What I wanted to say was what I liked about this movie. I only seen it once, but from what I felt, it wasn't overtly explosions and action and let's blow your minds with huge, crazy scenes. I felt there was a lot of dialogue. There was a lot of conversation happening. There was a lot of build up, and I liked that. And it was funny because when these conversations were happening, it wasn't diluted. It wasn't like, well, when's the action happening? I didn't feel like it was missing.
All paced well.
However, when the action started, I was like, oh, hey.
Yeah, that's right. We're watching a Marvel movie.
Yeah, like it came in at the right time, and it, like you said, it was well paced. I didn't feel like anything was missing, and then when I got something, I didn't realize I was missing it. Yeah. It was only an addition to a well told story.
Yeah,
and then I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, like I said before, this is a perfect example of taking the main the main source material and adjusting and adapting it to better a narrative that you want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes they do it for the sake of doing it, and it's lazy. It's done in a way where we want him to be able to do this, so let's change this about. That's not the way you do it. Everything here, all these characters were still represented well, and their characters were fleshed out well in that 2-hour time frame. The city and country of Wakanda was all represented well from the pages of the comic book, and whatever changes they made only enhanced the relationships mm-hmm. that you were supposed to experience right. within the storytelling. And what I liked too was, even in the moments that were just scenes from like when they went to Korea, when Okawe and Nakia are walking into the casino there, the underground casino. Okawe is wearing a wig,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
she's usually going around completely bald. That in itself was a little commentary on self-image.
That's what I think. So
it was, yeah. It totally was, but none of it was done in your face. It was all for the viewer. If you saw yourself within that character, or you could relate to something about it, it was there in a way for you to think about it lightheartedly, but also to feel comfortable with your own self,
mm-hmm.
not to feel like we've got to fit into how the rest of the world says we need to, and mm-hmm. what the rest of the world says is beautiful, or what the rest of the world says is acceptable about me.
Right.
And I think the Marvel movies have a little bit more of that ability to slide in those commentaries, a little bit of subtext to their movies
mm-hmm.
than the competition does, I think. How many Black Panther paws would you rate this movie?
Okay, remember that sacrilege thing?
Yeah, tell me the sacrilege thing.
Oh, I wasn't a fan of Michael B. Jordan.
Really?
Yeah.
That is sacrilege. Because I think he was outstanding in this movie.
I'm not saying he wasn't good. I just wasn't a fan of him. And maybe because he's become one of those people that are... look very familiar to me. Like, I couldn't see past
Creed?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's not a commentary on his acting or what he's...
Seems like it.
It just... I didn't...
You didn't like him. Uh-uh. I loved him. I thought he was one of the... In the movies. Because I would say The Purple Man and Kingpin from Netflix series. But he's one of the best villains.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
From the comic book movies.
Oh, in the him, but the comic book character?
No. His portrayal.
Yeah, that's heavy. I don't know about that.
He was a great villain. He made you believe his rage. I believed everything he felt. I believed in his mission. And in a way, you almost agree with him. That's a great villain. I'm trying to think of another villain who falls into that category where there's Heath Ledger's Joker, who I put up there. I think this one is put up there for me too. Is there a recent?
Hey, man, I'm not saying that it wasn't good. I'm just saying that there was parts of what I just couldn't handle. I just... He was just a villain.
Just didn't do it for
I don't think he was a fantastic villain. He was just a villain. You know who I thought was good? I thought Klaus was good. Claw.
Yes.
I thought he's...
He was very good.
He was like his face. Andy he looked Serkis. Like a maniacal, crazy lunatic who would just like... I mean, I thought that was pretty... that was pretty good.
So, Michael B. Jordan, when he takes his shirt off in the scene where they battle at the waterfall and you just see how ripped he is. It's nothing compared to Kylo Ren in The Last Jedi when you see him in the...
Kylo Ren? Yeah. What does this have to... What?
I'm talking about villains and their stature when once they take their shirt off. And you just see how intimidating they are and manly men that they are. Would you put Michael B. Jordan, when he takes his gear off at the waterfall to battle T'Challa, he's no Kylo Ren, is what you're saying?
I'm so confused. I don't know what's happening here. No, I just... So I don't... I'm not those type of girls that, ooh, when they take off a shirt, I'm like...
You know what's funny? You know who's obsessed with Kylo Ren is Shane. He thinks Kylo Ren is such a manly man from The Last Jedi, so it's an ongoing joke.
I don't see it. I don't know.
Wait, you remember how buff he was when he in Last Jedi? No,
he looked wide, but I didn't see like muscle definition.
No.
No.
I'd have to check the tapes.
No, when you talk about, I'm thinking like The Rock or even like that's bulky. That's kadunkadunk.
A kadunkadunk.
Not like kadunkadunk woman. Like kadunkadunk. I don't even like that stuff. Like sometimes that's just too hard. Like I'm gonna bump into you and get a concussion. I don't find that to be no. Kylo Ren.
You remember Kylo Ren, Last Jedi?
Yeah, he had like a what is that thing when you go to a wedding?
A cummerbund?
Yeah. That's all I saw when he took off his shirt. I'm like, what are you doing? Why do you look so wide? That's it. And pale. It didn't know.
So no Kylo Ren and no Princess Bride.
Can we move on from that? We're done with that.
So how many Black Panther paws would you give this movie?
I feel like we didn't talk much about the movie, but it was good. I'm going to give it a... An 8.5.
That's a high rating for Daf J.
It is.
You rarely give movies more than 7 lately.
Yeah, I was gonna give it a 7.5, but then I feel like I have to make up for my sacrilege comment. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying I'm not a fan. I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. I was just kind of like, you know what I think it was? No, I'm not gonna say it.
Tell me.
No, nothing.
Tell me. Be controversial. You're a woman of color.
See, the thing is, I just found, like, such, he just seemed like the everyday guy to me with a chip on his shoulder, as opposed to the rest of the cast was, like, very eloquent and quiet and, like, nice, and I was just, like, like, I deal with this down the street. Like, this is me. That's me just throwing a fit, right? But everybody else had, like, some kind of, like...
There was some
there was an essence and a finesse and a cultural, you know, entry. Like, there was something regal.
So you just felt he played your typical American guy from the hood.
Yeah, just, like, he was angry. Which, I'm not saying it was inaccurate. I'm just saying I've seen this character before. And that I think that's what it is. I've seen this character before. I sympathize with them. But this is unexplored territory, and I like it.
But I get what you mean. And I think you needed Michael B. Jordan to be that person in order for him to know why he felt the way he felt.
Although, you know what he said at the end that got me right in the heart?
Yeah.
Where the Black Panther, the real Black Panther, said to him, you know, we can take you inside and possibly save your life. Like, you don't have to die. He took him to see the sunsets of Wakanda. Mm. And then Michael B. Jordan's character said, "For what? So you can just shackle me and let me live in, like, imprisoned? What kind of life is that?" Mm-hmm. And then he's like, "Nah, just let me die, burn my body, and just throw my ashes in the ocean." It's like, just like what my ancestors, they knew that dying would be better than living bondage. as in bondage. And I was like, holy shit. He didn't just go there. And although that was the...
It was very powerful.
That was the tone of the movie in a way. For there to be an outright statement of like... That was powerful for me.
Yeah.
That took me back. I'm like, oh my goodness, he just went there. And there was such truth to that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And that moment actually got me very emotional.
Yeah. It was powerful. And I think if you, what, you don't have to like comic book movies to go watch this.
Mm-mm.
And you don't have to have seen any of the other Marvel movies to have to go and watch this.
It'd be great if you did.
It would be great if you did, but it's done so well that, yeah. And I think that's going to be the difference maker in this movie compared to all the other ones, because it isn't as heavily set in the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Civil War, Captain America, it'll only enhance it.
Right.
And hopefully this movie will get people to go out and read the Black Panther comics, because they are, from the ones that were written in the 70s, were way ahead of its time and were extremely influential in how people would go on to write comics and storytelling. And then the things that Christopher Priest did, as much as it's science fiction-y and all of that kind of stuff, it is taking socio-political elements and storytelling to say, here's a king of a powerful country. He's not just an Avenger. He's a monarch. He's got the brains of Reed Richards. He's got the money and technology that surpasses Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the ability to outfight Captain America because he's a super soldier in a way. What is his role to play in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps you reflect on what your role is to play in the world, depending on what you possess, what's in your possession in regards to power or whatnot. And those are the fine things that you, the underlying context that you get from the comics that I think this movie really reflected on. And I hope it makes people be like, oh, that's why people read comics, not just because they're nerds. Cartoons. Not just that they're cartoon characters, they're toys that people are reading about.
Yeah.
You know? So how many Black Panther paws?
I think I said.
Oh, 8.5.
8.5.
I'm going to give it 9.
That's high.
I'm going to give it 9 to a 9.5.
Wow.
I really, this movie is, in modern day comic book or superhero movies, probably my tie for second place. This in Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier is so bad. I love
this,
it.
This is in that.
Too bad you spoiled it for me.
Oh, stop it. I didn't know Bucky was going to be in it. Come on.
Did you like the post credits?
I did, because they weren't overly like shockworthy. I really liked the scene, spoilers, of the Black Panther going to the UN and basically giving a public service announcement to the actual real world,
mm-hmm.
by saying, you know, there's more that connects us than separates us, so we need to build bridges instead of barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really timely to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, when you see Bucky come out of the hut, all he said that don't take me out of the freeze until I'm healed. So clearly his mind is back in working order.
Mm-hmm.
But they called him the White Wolf. And the White Wolf in the Black Panther comics was not Bucky, but he was a stepbrother to T'Challa, who was the head of the secret police, who were a very ruthless Wakandan police force that T'Challa disbanded because he said, you guys are a bunch of mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a tension between the White Wolf from the comics and the Black Panther. So for him to be called the White Wolf at the end, I'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Bucky to be known as the White Wolf.
You think there's some kind of a meaning to that, or yeah, they were just saying White Wolf just cause?
Maybe as a throw, like just to a nod, fan service. But I from the trailers of the Infinity War, it looks like it's going to be set in Wakanda, or that they're going to play a major role, especially because their technology, and Bucky's in it quite a bit, and Cap gets a shield back, given back to him from Black Panther. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all of this connects. Some people are saying that this movie, it's too late for this movie to be as special as it should be, because it's being added way tacked on, if you will, later in the Marvel phases of, like, it's just Infinity War is just coming out. Like, they should have done this one from the start. How do you feel about that?
I feel better late than never.
I agree. 100% agree with you.
I think that's all.
Yeah, I think people... I think the Marvel Universe...
And you know what? Sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I'm glad that... Who knows what their reasons were to go in this, if there was a strategic, release of characters. But you know what? Save the best for last kind of thing. And you did it justice, as opposed to, I don't know, let's say he was released 2015, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wouldn't have been as fantastical as it is now.
Fantastical.
Well, and as you told me that Wakanda was so advanced, mm-hmm, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have, what, the iPhone or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, things have just gotten better with time. And I think it came out at a time where it could be... do justice kind of thing. So yeah, better late than never.
I agree. I think there was a shout out to Back to the Future in the movie. When...
With the hovers?
When she gives him the shoes.
The sneakers?
And she says, just like fully automated, just like in the movie that Papa used to watch, the American movie Papa used to watch.
Yeah, I think she said something like that.
I thought that was a reference to Back to the Future, which helps give it a 0.5 extra. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our return out of the literal cave of solitude.
I feel bad now for saying about the Michael Peter. I don't know. I just had to say one little thing.
That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm not saying it wasn't good.
Stick to your guns.
I just, you know what it was? I think it was just my least favorite overall. Like, I liked all of it. But if I had to put it in order, that'd probably be like, yeah, and I'm like, meh.
Mm. Okay.
Better job than what I would have done.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I talk and act like that every day.
Yeah, you do. Like, you're swearing at truck drivers that almost are pulling, are almost hitting
garbage you. Men, garbage truck drivers, people that are doing a civil duty, even they get a piece of Lady J at 7:20 in the morning. And Lady J's not so much of a lady, let me tell you that much.
No.
Yeah. It gets a little nasty. But yeah, if I had to say. Also, to the Fastball Special, if I were invited to the top 5 romantic movies, my list would have been...
Oh, we're just...
I'm going there.
You're going there.
I, there was no invitation extended to me.
Of course there was.
How? When?
I didn't always.
I wasn't told anything.
If ever I'm invited, you're invited. That's the rule.
No one told me nothing.
All right.
I have to tell you guys, though, had you invited me and that snowstorm hit, I wouldn't have come. I would have bowed out.
That's why.
Because I wasn't going to do that. So what I would have done, I'm just being honest, what my list would have been, you ready? These are not in any particular order. I'm just going to say it. What? 1, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
The first one. What does that look?
Not what I would say is a romance, but yes, yes, it's not? True. It's true. Will Turner.
How
is
say it's not?
I am nobody to judge.
No, I want to know the argument.
I just see it more as like an adventure film because they don't really get together at the end, the story continues.
But the sacrifice that he did without, and he did it without even knowing if that's how she felt about him. He was doing everything he can, despite the fact that he wasn't an eligible
suitor.
He was going all out, putting everything on the line to go get her and make sure she was brought home safe. And she took his last name because I think she inadvertently knew that she was meant to be with him.
Correct. Next. Good pick.
I know. Because I picked it. Okay. I'm going to say Dirty Dancing. Great soundtrack. Back in the day, those hits.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
Is it the soundtrack that was fantastic or the movie?
It was that watermelon that did it for me. I've never seen a watermelon that big ever in my life. I've been looking for a watermelon just like that. Can't find it. But just to, like, you know, breaking out of your, you know, being brave enough to break out of that circle and exploring people and lives.
Right.
And learning.
Right.
A coming of age,
right,
if you will, experience, and finding love at the end.
Right.
Unbelievable. Despite what anybody else has to say about it.
I agree 100%.
No?
100%.
And you're cha-cha-chaing on your way there.
No one puts baby in a corner.
One of my all-time favorites.
When Harry Met Sally.
Of course.
Was on my list.
I know it was. I heard the podcast.
You actually listened to a podcast, not your own.
Okay, you know what? Take it easy. I do that once in a while. Okay, when they're good.
Okay.
That was a good one.
Okay.
Yeah. Sue made me crave White Castle like nobody's business. I wanted to go to the state so bad and just get a burger. I wanted to drive. Yeah, I just wanted a White Castle. With all her movie picks, they were getting me hungry.
Next.
How many was that? So it was 3. Coming to America, When Harry Met Sally.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
And?
Coming to America.
And?
And one last one.
Beauty and the Beast.
The new one or the original?
The cartoon? The Disney version.
They're both Disney versions.
The animated movie.
Okay.
Beauty and the Beast.
You're a sucker for love.
Okay, can I say something?
Of course you can.
This was very hard for me. Because a lot of them were more like action movies. Like you said, Pirates of the Caribbean was kind of like more of a...
Swashbuckling.
But Beauty and the Beast was like true love. Despite what you look like or what you're destined to be, you can change for your true love.
See, you can take Beauty and the Beast and Pirates of the Caribbean and you combine them in one movie and you get Princess Bride.
No.
Swashbuckling, it's pirates, it's true love.
Weren't you saying goodbye?
So, at the end of the day, Princess Bride wins it all.
No one said that.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Eric Anthony of the Cave of Solitude, and...
I was reading an email. What?
What? This is Eric Anthony of the Cave of Solitude, and...
Oh, it's me. It's me, Lady J.
There you go. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or visit us on Facebook and give us a follow. Leave us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate all the love and support that we get. And we will be back sooner than 2 months. That's a promise. Right, Lady J?
That wasn't on purpose.
We are back with a vengeance.
I don't feel bad for that.
You don't have to feel bad.
It just happened.
Life happens. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Go out and see Black Panther.
I fight the world, I fight you, I fight myself, I fight God, just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life and living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid in relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat, even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption. The souls of suffering men, clutching on deaf ears again. Rapture's coming, it's all a prophecy. And if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta be.